You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
We have the privilege to have in our program author, poet, playwright, activist, Ken Canning. Good day.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for coming into our nice house.
Yes. Before we talk about the Night Dog Week, I know that you have a participation and you're quite busy for the Night Dog Week that is starting this Sunday. First, let's talk about your poems and your book.
My latest book is Imbama. A lot of my poetry is very political, politically motivated, because I've been fighting for many years for the rights of our peoples, First Nations peoples of this country. We still haven't got the rights of other peoples. There's still a lot of human rights abuses that are happening to our people. So a lot of my poetry reflects that. Although there is a certain amount that are gentle and reflect how I feel about our earth, which is our mother. One was used, it's been used now in an art installation in France. It's called My Earth, My Mother. It was out of another book called Gnarly Naga. And because it's a gentle poem about the love of the Mother Earth, what they've done with it, they've transcribed it into brick formations with barbed wire around it.
Oh.
Now, it's a joint project between Palestinian activists and Aboriginal activists. So it's saying what the colonial monster can do. They don't care about the mother and how people think about Earth as their mother, and the barbed wire and bricks is a symbolic of colonialism. That's what it brought with it. And they barbed wire off all the land, and they brick up places, they build prisons, put people in them. And so this was a joint thing that I felt privileged to be amongst, and I got the shots back last week of the installation. So the words would transcribed by a French artist to be used. So
Are we able to read a line or two from your book?
Yeah, I've got that. Let's see. Well, I've got a poem I often read, and it's our national anthem is Advance Australia Fair, so I changed it to Advance Australia What. Who is going to sing, come let us all rejoice, for we are young and free, to the young mother sitting in red dust beside a dry river in fourth world conditions in a nation appalled by the third world. Who will tell her, Advance Australia Fair, as her dying child suckles from a malnourished breast. And I'm using in there, later on in that poem, I use things like when they talk about Anzac tradition, say, lest we forget, I talk about our people being victims of war. And I use that old thing of Anzac saying, lest we forget. So, there's sort of sayings in there that are very Australian that I turn around.
Mm.
It finishes with that old thing that, and I can't stand it. People go, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. I mean, that's ridiculous. But I finish that poem with Aussie, 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 blah, blah, blah. And so, there's always a political punch. There's a gentle side, but I have to always, I keep coming back to the politicisation. I wrote one recently. I did a documentary for AFTERS, Australian Film, Radio and Television School, recently, and I went back into a prison situation. And when I was young, I'd been locked up for a long, long time, as a lot of Aboriginal people do. And I just went real funny because I'd been put back in that situation. And so I wrote a poem which reflected the human rights abuses that they subject us to within that environment. I mean, one of the lines I wrote in there was, agents waiting for your demise by lethal rejection. Instead of playing with words, instead of lethal injection, which we don't have in this country, they have in America, but you can be killed by lethal rejection.
Yeah.
If you reject a group of people long enough, you will kill them off. And that's what that line summed up. So it was about, not just only about imprisonment, it was about how society treats our people. So a lot of my work does reflect that. It's not pleasant reading, but it's not meant to be, because the life we've had to endure in this country, the history of the true history of this country is yet to be told.
With all that you have experienced, including being in prison and the ongoing advocacy that you are doing through your books and all the activities that you are doing, why is it important for you to continue fighting and revealing, as you have said, the untold true story of Australia?
Well, the true story of Australia needs to be told, not to point the finger at this person, that person, or this person. It's to tell the country how we got to this point now. You can never understand yourself as a nation until you know the truth. If you look even at, look at Filipino history, there was a time in history where Rizal was written as the person who drove the Spanish out. You have a closer look at history now, people are saying, well, Bonifacio actually did. Rizal was more of an academic. Now you can see where that came from. The Spanish would have thought it was more respectable that an academic drove them out than an illiterate man from the mountains. So we need to tell the truth so we can feel the pride ourselves. Like, when I went to school, we were told the British came here, they landed, now the people who didn't like it moved further inland. Well, every single tribal nation never ceded their land. To this very day, we have not ceded any land to anybody. And in those frontier wars, we fought men, women and children against the invader. And that is not recognised, that is not being told. The heroic acts that our people did to fight against the invaders. In some lands, 40 years it took them to fight sticks, spears against guns. 40 years they held them off. Pemulwuy here in Sydney held a 12-year warfare against the might of the British Army, and with spears against guns. That's been told to a little bit, but also what hasn't been told is they're talking about mapping the massacres in this country now. If you want to map the massacres, just map the whole country, because massacres happened everywhere, every place. And some of the atrocities that were committed here, people do not know. And we need to tell people, because we carry these oral histories with us. So these oral histories are with us, and we know they happened. They hurt.
How important it is for Indigenous Australians to take part in NIDOC?
Oh, look, you know, the two trains of thought. Some people are saying it's getting too big and it's getting, like, too commercial or too whatever, but I still think it's important we celebrate who we are, you know, that there are... Yeah, and I can understand why some people think it's getting way out of hand or whatever, that it's almost an industry sometimes in some areas. But in communities like this and other communities, it's a chance to show non-Aboriginal people what our issues are. Two years ago we had NAIDOC was dedicated to Aboriginal servicemen who went and fought in wars, because they thought they would get citizenship when they came back, but they came back and lived under segregation again and weren't citizens. We didn't get citizenship till 1967. So we had people going over fighting in wars and coming back with no rights of a citizen in this country. So we dedicated the whole week. This week is important. It's because of her we can. That's recognising the matriarchal nature of our society. Because of our women, we can. The women have not only been, you know, the holders and keepers of our traditional ways of life, but the driving force in our political activity are a lot of women.
Which woman, for you, because of her, you can?
My great-grandmother, my old granny. I call her my old granny. And our family originally came from out West Queensland, but I lived a lot of years in a place called Bribie Island, and I was fortunate enough Granny moved there. And when I was very young, I spent a lot of time talking to her. And she told me about the old times out west and things, that life, what life was like before I was born, what family members were who. And the other thing was, she was a very strong woman. You know? She wouldn't be beaten. She wasn't a woman who, yes, a lot of dreadful things had happened, but she never, ever, ever looked like a victim. She was a very, very powerful woman. You could sense it. Yeah, yeah. She didn't Ava told me about how hard she fought, but she knew she did, you know. You could see she wasn't prepared to take any rubbish from anyone. So she was proud. She was proud of who she was, and she would look anybody in the eye. She was not a defeated person. Unfortunately, sometimes when you generation after generation, you're getting people killed and things like this that were happening, and a lot of the bad things that they did to our women, particularly. You know, some people just quite naturally flew apart, but a lot of our women stood straight up and looked them straight in the eye and fought back. My old granny was one of those women, so she had a profound effect. And there were other women when I first came to New South Wales who said, "Righto, you're down here now. We come from an area that's close to your traditional area, so we're your family." And, you know, a lot of those women were very influential in forming my political notions. So a lot of my political learning were from women from either my own family or extended family.
Night of Week this week is recognising women, Indigenous women. But do you think Australia has been recognising how powerful and significant women's role is?
No, I don't think they have an idea. You know, the colonialists, when they came here, if you look when they went to name Canberra, they asked the men, "What's the name of that place over there?" They didn't tell them the proper name because they didn't know. Because where they were pointing was a women's spot.
Mm.
So the men could not go there and they could not know the name. So they told them anything. So, you know, because coming from a patriarchal society, they just kept asking the men. And I think, you know, they're still in that sort of thing. If you get non-Aboriginal people walking to a meeting of Aboriginal people, men and women mix, the non-Aboriginal people address the men first, which is ridiculous. You know, we laugh about it later. When are these people going to learn, you know? And you know, I've been around quite a while, but some of the women will say, "What did they ask you for? You don't know much." We have our own humour, you know. So that's fancy asking you, and they'll ask me a subject that, you know, I might know much about, but the woman sitting next to me is an expert on, you know.
Mm.
But it's in their nature, and I don't think they understand even the power of their own women. It's like here, it's a beat up fight between men and women, and like men and women are at war. Almost, and psychologically, in that thing, I don't think any society knows that our women hold a power that is always there. It just is. It just is. You know, it's not something we question.
What else can we do to recognise women in Australia?
I think we need to look. I've often said the Australian government went on purposeful intention to try and assimilate Aboriginal people into white society. There's nothing wrong with assimilation. They got it the wrong way around. They need to assimilate into our way of thinking. If they assimilate into our way of thinking, they will see the importance quite naturally, not straight away, but after generations. You breed out their colonial way of thinking, and you'll see that they have an Indigenous way of thinking and a philosophy that is not patriarchal, and then you'll see the importance of women. But I think, you know, if you look now, boys are brought up in this society, I think, in a manner that is not conducive to respecting women. They're still brought up in women are objects, you know. Boys are allowed to go out and sow their wild oats, have as many girlfriends as they like. If a girl goes out, she's called all sorts of names. So there's that sort of thing of heightened disrespect. Two rules, if you like. I just think the way the society, even reflected in its leadership, the whole country is run by men. The women there are virtually on almost a tokenistic basis. They're not listened to. And people look at Asian countries and say, I've heard people say you lived in the Philippines, women are oppressed over there. Rubbish. That's rubbish, you know. 1986, you had your first woman president over there. And that's not that long after independence. So you got your first woman president, but as I watch Parliament here, there's very few women, but when I'm over in the Philippines, even though I don't understand the language, I watch Congress and the Senate operating just to see the dynamics. And there's women everywhere.
Yes.
And they're not quiet. They're not tokenistic. They're women with power. They're women with a real say. They're not sitting down mild and meek in the backbench. They're up front and they are helping run the country.
They speak their mind.
And heaven help the man that stands in their way. And you don't have to, because half the time in the Congress they're speaking English anyway, so you get a mixture between Tagalog and English, so you get enough English to know what's going on.
Yeah.
The women hold their own in there, and they're not going to take any rubbish from the males. Here we've got probably a half a dozen women that are politicians federally, and in their own way they've got to be, whether they like to think it or not, but they've got to be subservient to their male masters. This is the way this country has been run by the white people.
What can be done to recognize women, Indigenous and white Australian women, and how important it is to recognize them?
It's very important because, look, let's face it, whatever belief system you come from, we know the mother, the earth is sacred. The earth is the mother, even white picture. Every Indigenous peoples in the world recognize Mother Earth is our ultimate mother. She is our mother. She gives life to everything. The earth gives life to the food we eat. The sea provides food. All the animals graze off the food provided by Mother Earth. So the Mother Earth is our sustenance. Now the continuum of the birthing of us and the food source, the continuum of that is the woman. She's the continuum. If you do not have respect for the giver of life, and if you disrespect the woman, you're disrespecting your own Mother Earth, because the woman has the same role as Mother Earth, the continuum and giver of life. It's quite simple. It's not really hard to understand. You cannot disrespect the one who brought you into this world. You can't. It doesn't matter whether you had a good relationship with your mother or not. She brought you into this world. You have to love her. And once you start carrying on there, it's not only that. You might be married to somebody, but she's somebody's daughter. She's somebody's sister. She's going to be the mother of your children. What are you going to slap her about? Well, you may as well go and bury yourself, because once you do that, you give up your right to be a proper man. You give up your right. And it's based on that whole thing that we all recognise that the earth is the provider for all of us. So is womanhood the provider for all of us.
It's important to respect women.
Of course it is. How else are we going to be born? A man going to go through all that labour? It's just common sense, seriously. And who nurtures you? Who nurtures you when you're a baby? So it's just, what are you going to do? Grow up and just dislike the very one that went through all that to give you life and then dedicated her life to making sure you grow, and then all of a sudden you're married to somebody of the same sex as that and you start beating her around? That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous and that is wrong. I won't condone it. I'm one man who's always spoken out about domestic violence. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. There's no reason whatsoever to hit a woman.
Thank you very much, Ken Cunning.
Thank you.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.